Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Let's go! Let's go, Faithful, man! How freaking awesome was that game? The 49ers win. There's going to be four-letter words, so y'all better be ready. The filter is off. The 49ers come out and win. They get it done. Last-second field goal. You've got the worst wide receiver core in the NFL, and it ain't even close. You came down to the wire of this game, and you had two players that you could give the ball to. Riggy Pearsall, Christian McCaffrey. Your backup quarterback's hurt. He's not walking. The offensive line was abysmal all freaking game. Nick Bosa, do y'all remember the times where Nick Bosa goes down and the 49ers defense turns into a JV high school football team's defense? Not anymore. And Eddie freaking Pinheiro, is that the next jersey I got to buy? Am I buying an Eddie P freaking jersey? Jake Moody, suck it, man. We have a kicker. The 49ers are the only 3-0 team in the NFC West. And on top of that, you now are 2-0 in the division. 2-0 in the division last year, 2024. You had one divisional win the entire season. Let's fucking go, baby. Let's go. That game sucked. That game, like, you've got 1990s Big Ten players and coaches watching that go, man, this game is rough. R-U-F-F. But it doesn't matter because you came out and you finished. You finished. You finished. You got it done. And again, for the third time this season, the 49ers have outscored in the team, the opposing team in the fourth quarter. Now, it was ugly as hell, and you outscored them 10-9, gave up way too many fourth quarter points. You know, we're not used to that, but a lot of that was on the offense, that safety right. But it doesn't matter. Find ways to win the game. That is what teams that are good at football do. Win on the road, back-to-back weeks, week one, week two. Win divisional games. Shoot, look at Seattle now. Seattle's looking like freaking unbelievable. You beat them at home already. The Rams, yeah, the Rams look good. It came down to poor special teams play, and they lost versus the Eagles. They should have won that game, but it doesn't matter because now you're the only undefeated team in the NFC West. You handle business. You get it done. You get the damn job done. Can we talk about Kyle Shanahan? Can we talk about Kyle Shanahan? Who has the biggest huevos known to man? 4th-and-2, no touchdowns by offense or defense, and you call a 40-yard bomb? What the hell? Ricky Pearsall. Ricky freaking Pearsall. Damn. Yeah. This is freaking awesome, man. Yeah, like Kyle was aggressive all game. Whenever they got in the goal line, went for it on fourth down, didn't work out, but the defense held them. You got the ball back, eventually led to points. But for those people that are always just like, oh, Kyle's too conservative. Kyle needs to get his mojo back. He needs to be aggressive. Got to go for it on fourth down. Man, shut the hell up. Did you watch this game? Have you watched all season? People still saying that damn thing, but they're all the same people that don't watch the games. And don't like they just throw these stupid ass one-liners that some dumbass on ESPN or Fox Sports One says. None of them watch the football games either, by the way. Those are interns writing their damn narratives. That shit ain't true. It ain't true. The 49ers went out there with nothing at the wide receiver position. Two of your starting wide receivers were cut by teams last month. Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Kendrick Bourne. Literally cut within the past month. They're two of your three starting wide receivers. You don't have George Kittle. Don't have George Kittle. You don't have Brock Purdy. You don't have your starting left guard. You don't. Doesn't matter. The NFL, nobody feels bad for you if you're injured. You got to go deliver and get things done when it's ugly. That was ugly. That was ugly, 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 but it doesn't matter because it still counts. Still counts, baby. The 49ers, 3-0, went 16-15. That is like 16. It's an ugly ass score. You know what I mean? Like everything about this game, there were no touchdowns until the fourth quarter. Then both teams get a touchdown. And yeah, there are a lot of negatives, a lot of things to grow on. But I've said this all season. It's really easy to coach up and correct and move forward after wins. And the fact that you just keep winning in different ways. Mac Jones had, you got your backup quarterback, McCorkle, driving down there, operating the offense like freaking, dude was awesome. I mean, yeah, there were some problems with this game, but he's a backup quarterback. He goes 27-41. I'm thankful that they threw the ball. This was one of the games where I was like, dude, stop running the ball. You go 20 carries for 73 yards. 3.7 is actually the best yards per carry the 49ers have had so far this season. The run game is bad. A lot of that's the offensive line. A lot of that's the scheme. When you don't have to worry about any of the wide receivers besides one, you don't have to worry about George Kittle. You don't have to worry about you just Ricky Pearsall and CMC. There's two guys that are inept on the offense. That you can trust. That's it. And you look at the carries. Christian McCaffrey, good gosh, 15 targets, 17 carries, 32 touches. But you don't have a choice. I really wish they would have ran Brian Robinson more. He only got two carries. One of the biggest plays of the game, by the way, was that 19-yard run. Shout out to freaking Colton McKivitz. And Jake Brindle had a good block on that one, too. Jake Brindle was terrible. For the majority of this game, he killed two drives by himself, but did make some positive plays. Like, you're getting some positive from Jake Brindle. Yeah, he still will block for a count and then watch Christian McCaffrey get killed by his guy, sidestep over Christian McCaffrey's dead body to not help him up and to go set the huddle because it's so important to him. Like, Jake Brindle still sucks. Like, all the people telling you, oh, the 49ers have the best offensive line and EPA. Those nerds don't know shit about football. I'm sorry. This is a post-game. I don't care. I'm letting go. I'm going to be real. Listen to me, you EPA dumbasses. That is not football. It's not. You watch, and I love the movie. Yeah, I love the movie. You watch Moneyball, and you got convinced you know what the hell sports analytics are, and analytics are useful too. But can we just shut the hell up about EPA and all this different stuff? It's a measuring tool. It shouldn't drive a narrative. Jake Brindle sucks. That's okay. The 49ers are paying him a sucky salary. You are getting what you pay for. Doesn't mean you're not going to get cost several drives each game. And yeah, game two, Jake Brindle was awesome. Dominique Pooney sucked. He has not been good this year. Now, he's not fully healthy. He hasn't been fully healthy. That safety was 100% on him. But he hasn't been good. He, like, as bad as Jake Brindle, Dominique Pooney has been the worst offensive lineman. We've said that. Now, Connor Colby, In future, we trust, right? And everybody's like, ah, come on, Connor Colby. Did not have a great game. That holding call was total BS. We'll talk about officiating later. But the offensive line, the interior offensive line hasn't been good this year. Trent Williams has been great. And those EPA guys were the same ones telling you, Trent Williams isn't good anymore. Fucking idiots. Those guys don't, oh my gosh. I try my hardest on social media in this show. And we're letting it go because this reaction show, and y'all come for me all you want. I don't care. Those idiots, like, you're taking victory laps over Trent Williams not being good week one whenever he was good, and the tape said he was good, when the entire game plan of the opposing team was to blitz two guys at him and make him block two. That's what they did all the time. Like, pay attention to what's going on. Your outside tackles are badass. Colton McKivitz is freaking awesome. He's awesome in the run game, in the pass game. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Trent Williams, unbelievable. Your interior is weak as hell. Weak as hell. And yeah, I believe in Dominic Pooney long term. I don't think he's fully healthy. I really, really don't. He's had terrible balance issues all season long. It's three games in. But you don't change him, whatever. But it is what it is. You're allowed to criticize things. Everybody's so damn soft. So soft. This game should toughen your ass up. Right? As a fan, as a reporter, writer, content creator, whatever, man, toughen the hell up. Let's go. Let's go. Sorry. I've got way too many notes. Let's get to some of these super chats. Trey Hall. Thank you, man. Appreciate your generosity. This is Max Team Now. He said, LOL, JK. Yeah. Now we're getting people back. Also, Pearsall is him. Can't wait to get him healthy. I've said all freaking offseason, Mac Jones is the best number two quarterback Kyle Shanahan's had since he's been here. Not because, and you guys know me, if you've been listening to the show, we've been doing this for 9 years. I hate McCorkle Jones. I can't stand him. But whenever I went out to those practices and training camps, I couldn't tell who the damn quarterback was in. I'd be watching O-line, D-line, wide receivers, whatever else. And then you'd see this play and it's like, that was Brock, right? Nope, that was number 10. The dude just operated the system consistently. Mac Jones played great. And the rule is in the NFL, if your backup quarterback can go 500, then you are elated that, like, you got more than you paid for. No, not 500. He went 2-0, won a road game, won a divisional home game, and a fourth quarter comeback drive victory. Are you freaking kidding me? Love Mac Jones, man. And I don't like Mac Jones, but I love Mac Jones. He played great. You got everything you wanted. Obviously, it's Brock Purdy's team. He changes the dynamic of the offense completely. But the fact that you have a guy that you can say, hey, Mac Jones, go get it done, and gets it done, that is huge. Pearsall, let's talk Pearsall. 8 catches on 11 targets, 117 yards. Wow. I mean, the weird thing about Pearsall this game was he got no separation pretty much the whole game, and the refs were allowing the defensive backs, the defensive hold way past 5 yards. They never called any of those, but the refs kind of let them play besides the 49ers offensive line. That call on Renardo was right. Renardo's been awful. Anyway, he just doesn't trust his technique. We outlined that back-to-back games over on the on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. We break down every play. We'll start breaking it down tomorrow. Every offensive play, every defensive play, every special teams play, all 22 coaches tape, end zone view, all that. We break down every play. Go sign up, the 49ersrush.com. That's how I feed my family. And we tell you, we show you these problems. When you watch the games, you're like, oh, yeah, like – it's not because of what we do. It's because when players have habits, good or bad, you get those things show out. And Ricky Pearsall was not getting separation, but he is so damn tough. Contested catch, just amazing hands, amazing mitts. Ricky Pearsall is off the freaking charts, man.
Imagine a way to travel that feels personal, comfortable, and connected without the price tags and the sterile feeling of hotels or short-term rentals. That's exactly what Kindred provides. And whenever I think about traveling, like, I want it to feel like personal, effortless. Whenever I go on the road for all the 49ers Rush road trips, I've got so many things on my mind. Where I stay, I don't want to be one of them. So Kindred is a members-only home swapping network. It isn't a hotel. It isn't a short-term rental. It's a smarter way to travel where each stay feels like home. Plus, with Kindred, your home's your ticket. You earn hosting credits from fellow members, and then use those credits to stay in over 220,000 homes in 100 cities worldwide. And if you apply now at livekindred.com and use code 49ers to join for free, you'll earn 5 nights of travel credit just for signing up. That's livekindred.com, code 49ers. Livekindred.com, code 49ers.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Flynn, thank you for your super chat, man. Mac Jones was surgical on the last drive. 3-0, sole possession of first place in the NFC West, and only going to get better as health gets better. Yeah, let's talk about who you're getting back. Right off the bat next week, DeMarcus Robinson is back. You know, I put out there when Juwan Jennings was declared inactive, I said the 49ers are sending out the worst wide receiver core in the NFL this week. The worst. Dead last. 32 out of 32. People were like, the Raiders are worse. No, they're not. But that's because of the injuries. The Cardinals had out top five corners. We had out five wide receivers. No Ayuk. DeMarcus Robinson suspended. Juwan Jennings out. Jordan Watkins out. I'm missing one more. I'm missing another. Oh, yeah. The cat from Arizona, Jacob Cowing. Like, we had five guys out. Five of them out. You're getting some of those guys back now. We'll have to see what happens with Bosa. But, man, you're in first place. You did. If you could say, y'all remember, I think it was like the second or third preseason game when all the injuries started piling up, and they're still piling up. But it was like, if you could go back and say, hey, you're going to be 3-0 when you start the season. Are you going to take it or leave it? Every single team in the NFL would take that. I want to know, let me see here, if I don't screw this up completely. Let me just count how many 3-0 teams there are in the NFL. You got the Bills, you got the Colts, who we play, and you got the Chargers in the AFC. You got the Eagles, you got the Bucks, and you got the 49ers. Six. There's three in the AFC, three in the NFC. All you care about is the NFC. Now, the NFC West is by far the best division of football so far through 3 weeks. Three combined losses. That's it. That's crazy to me that you're 3-0, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. But the tiebreaker, the very first tiebreaker in all of football, is head-to-head matchups and divisional record. Well, now the 49ers have the tiebreaker against Seattle head-to-head. You have the tiebreaker against Cardinals head-to-head. And you have the tiebreaker over all three with the 2-0 divisional record. And I know, Chapman, we're in September. What are we talking tiebreakers for?
We're talking tiebreakers because what you do in September breaks the damn tie in December. And you're already a leg up. You already have those things. So that whenever it does get tight, and this season's going to get tight. Shoot, look how you've won every single game. It has been all out freaking haymakers at the end. Who's the bigger man? That's who's going to win. The 49ers have answered that call not once, not twice, but three times. None of them have been pretty. They've all been within one possession. But you're getting the damn job over and over and over again. And now you're building an identity. Go back to that 2023 season. And you remember where you're blowing everybody out in the fourth quarter, Brock Purdy and George Kittle, they're over there laughing with CMC and they're telling knock-knock jokes and whatever else, right? The question was, man, they haven't even had one victory by a single possession yet. They haven't, and we made it to the playoffs before you had one game that was close. You weren't iron tested. Can't say that about this team. The 2025 49ers are different. They're not near as electric on offense. That's God obvious truth through 3 weeks. But hey, we're going to fight tooth and nail and we're going to come out and Ricky Pearsall will catch a ball off of his head with the guy draped over him, you know, falling into the sidelines, gets shaken up, comes back out one play. Christian McCaffrey might have 34 touches. Our offensive linemen's freaking heads are falling off. Like it's awful, but they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And when teams watch tape of this week, they're going to say, guys, this is a 60 freaking minute fight that will not stop until the final whistle. And you got to check yourself going into a game like this. You got to understand we're going to play the 49ers. Those motherfuckers are tough. It rings in your head. I've been on both sides. I've been a part of coaching staffs and teams and played for teams that are like that. And I've been on the other side where it's like, man, I know some of the guys in this locker room are not built that way. The 49ers are built that way, top to bottom. And probably nothing tells me more about that than this right here. The defensive series where you almost got that safety. Was it a safety, by the way, for those of you that were at the game or whatever else? If literally 1 millimeter of the ball or part of the quarterback is just barely past that white line, it's not a safety. It's the exact opposite. Like if something breaks the barrier going into the end zone, anything, then it's a touchdown. It's the exact opposite for safeties. Everything, like one little bitty piece, 1 millimeter of that ball breaks that white line, it's no longer a safety. It was not a safety. It was close. But on that play, the most pivotal moment of the entire game, maybe the field goal kick, whatever else, you had three rookies and Sam O were your defensive line. And all four of them won. You had C.J. West. You had Alfred Collins, you had Mikael Williams, who was hurt, came back and played, and you had Sam O, who's an undrafted free agent transplant. Are you kidding me? Robert Saleh's getting those guys to do that in the most important drive of the freaking game? Not Bryce Huff, not Nick Bosa, not Jordan Elliott, not Kalia Davis, none of them. We're talking our true Bravo group, three rookies, and an undrafted free agent transplant. What the hell, man? Like, that is not normal. That is special. And if they can continue to up, and they are, Kalia Davis, we'll go through the tape. Kalia Davis was bad again, back-to-back bad weeks. But the fact that you could do that with those guys in that moment against that quarterback, oh, man. Corey Patterson, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. The punt that led to the safety, you should have let that go. Special teams, positives, negatives. I'm thankful there's some positives. So let me, and again, the tape will go through this. The Cardinals are punting from right around midfield. The 49ers defense is in what's called safe punt defense, where you keep your entire starting defense out there. You pull a safety and you put Sky Moore, your returner, back there. There is no return, okay? So it's fair catch or don't catch it. That's it, because you're selling out to stop the fake because you're in fake territory. Between the 40s, fourth and four or less, you just, hey, we're going to play defense. You're not holding up the returners. You're not doing anything. You're literally, we are covering. So what happens is the front 10 You try to stop the fake. Once the ball's punt, you stop playing. You get the hell away. That way there's no fumbles or whatever else. Now, Sky Moore, the returner, is taught fair catch at all costs. No matter how far they are, you have no blocking support. Fair catch or don't catch it. That's only two options. Now, he was running over his shoulder, 100% should have let that ball go, and he did the following punt, and it went for a touchback for the game-winning drive. So I like that he learned, but yeah, Sky Moore's never been known for his football, you know, acumen, and it definitely didn't come across that. You know, you put your feet at the 9 or 8, maybe, and if you have to take a step back, you just let it go. Just let it go. That was a stupid decision special teams-wise. You are 100% correct, Corey. That was dumb. But I do love that you got that same position again. 49ers forced a 3-and-out. Not true 3-and-out. They got a first, then 3-and-out. So I guess it was 4 because they got the first down on the first play. But then after that, you fixed it. And he didn't do the same mistake twice. You drive down the field. You get the field goal. You go up for the win. That is what it's about. That is what it's about. Now, I got more super chats. Let's talk Fred Warner. Because if there's one player in the NFL that is doing things that nobody else is doing in the NFL, regardless of their position, it is 5-4 right after this.
You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week 1 and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, Super Contest, Survivor Pools, Casino, Blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So, football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go.
All right, good news. It doesn't appear to be an ACL injury for Nick Bosa. They need to do more tests before figuring out how significant it is, but that's going to wait till tomorrow. So when the swelling goes down, they do an MRI. Usually takes a while to get those results back. You'll find out more for that tomorrow. But I can tell you this right now. I've gone through this spill a few times on this show, so I apologize if you've heard it before. The ACL check is one of like the cleanest you could just tell right off the bat. And I could tell just whenever they measure and do the thing on the – whenever I watch a guy do it, I could tell just – I've done it too many times as a coach. Jog it out there and testing those kids' legs, you can tell. Because, like, you lift up the calf, and if you try to slide, you take all the weight off of the knee and the hamstring, and you literally just try to lift up from the kneecap underneath the calf, you'll see him do that motion. If there's no tension and it just drops and there's no tension there, it's gone. So, like, the fact that they are saying it's not an ACL tear, it means something's intact there. When an ACL tears, dude, it's like lifting up a balloon. Like, there's nothing there. And the sad thing is, I've gone through it so many times, I can watch somebody do the test and tell. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physical therapist. I'm none of those things. Just been around it a lot of times. So whenever you have somebody come out and say Nick Bosa, ACL is not a tear, that's the best possible news. Now, it could be a PCL sprain, MCL sprain, whatever else, knee contusion, lots of different things. The way Bosa fell, there was contact there. It was kind of a weird bend with two guys on top of him. There's going to be an issue there. Probably going to miss some time. But best news, it's not the same knee as the ACL tear happened last time for Nick Bosa in 2020. So lots of positives there. But just breathe a sigh of relief. And we will kind of move forward with that. So that is great news. Let's talk about Fred freaking Warner. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate the super chat. Can we discuss Fred freaking Warner? Oh my gosh. Not once, not twice, three times, three games in a row, Fourth quarter, game's on the line, the defense is out there. Fred Warner delivered, shutting down series, whether it's in coverage, whether it's causing an interception or a fumble or getting a pass defense. Fred Warner had 11 tackles, two pass breakups. And they're happening in big moments. That's like primetime players make primetime plays in primetime games. This is a divisional game. Both undefeated teams. Fourth quarter. Like, what are you going to do? Third down? Shut it down. You read the tiny quarterback's eyes. You jump up, bats the ball down. But it was more than that, too. Just the amount of stuffs on third and one. Tackle for loss. Like, I don't know what needs to be done. And, you know, my teaser was Fred Warner's doing something that nobody else in the NFL is doing. And here's what I mean by that. If you take every single position across the NFL, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, defensive end, whatever else, and if you look at, okay, who's the number one at that position, then who's the number two? And there are debates everywhere. Who's the number one quarterback right now? You can debate that. Corner, whatever else. There is no debate. There is nothing that any human being can say in the NFL. I don't give a damn who. There is one linebacker. And that gap between Fred Warner and the number two linebacker is gigantic. Is absolutely gigantic. There is Fred Warner and a chasm. And so the biggest gap, regardless of position in the NFL, between the number one player at that position, number two, it is Fred Warner and nobody else. There is nobody even having a conversation. Y'all tell me who the number two linebacker in the NFL is. Like, what are you going to say? Like, everybody's like, and again, I could tell you like some top tier linebackers across the NFL for sure, but there is nobody that is even close. I always call Fred Warner the standard because he changed their linebacker play. And this is a Hall of Fame conversation. Linebacker play is defined pre and post Fred Warner. It's not the same anymore. And like, what's the Joker line? Like, we can't go back. There's no going back now where people try to make some money and, yeah, you chase us, we get whatever. No. The game's different now. The game has changed. Fred Warner has changed the dialogue and the measuring stick. That's why he's the standard of the linebacker position. If you can't cover in today's NFL, you're not a linebacker anymore. You're not. You're a big nickel. You're a special teamer. We're going to bulk you up and make you be an edge rusher. Go to a 3-4 scheme and, you know, whatever. He changed it. The game has changed. And in the NFL, one of the questions that I always ask is this. Can you talk about the running back position without so-and-so? Can you talk about the 2000 tight end group for a decade without mentioning said player? Because if you can have that conversation with a random fan or whatever, and that person's name never comes up, I'm not sure that's a Hall of Famer in my book. That's one of the criteria, not the only criteria. But if you're talking about linebacker play, not only for this decade, the 49ers have the greatest linebacker history of any team in the NFL, all 32 teams. Like, it's 49ers have the best linebackers ever. And so whenever you talk about best linebackers, Fred Warner's at the top of the list, by the way. Like, if you ask me to take, and this is going to get weird, and you guys, whatever, we'll roll with it. If you ask me, you can have Patrick Willis or you could have Fred Warner. You're going to get a draft him knowing everything you know about him. Out of the draft, you only get one. Which one are you taking? I made up my mind a year ago, and to see Fred come back out and do what he's done, it's Fred Warner. I'm not turning. And that's not negative to Patrick Willis, who I love. I've got his jersey hanging up 20 feet away from me. I love Patrick Willis. I've made a lot of money to get him to come out to our parties and meet people. Like, love Patrick Willis. Fred Warner is number one. Fred Warner is the best, and he's still cooking. He's still going. And that's the thing that people don't understand. The longevity has to play a role in that. Has to. And this guy, again, Kyle even said it, you know, sometimes when we go into the locker room at halftime and we've got to make adjustments, I'll just tell Fred to go make a speech to the team. He's different. He's just different. And, you know, I know it's hyperbole and, you know, it's a reaction show. So we're not like, oh, all these whatever thinging it out. And here's this. I'm telling you, Fred Warner, he's not only the best player on the 49ers, he's one of, if not the best player in the NFL. He's by far the best player at his position. And three games in a row, he has made a defining play that changed everything. At the moment, in the fourth quarter, he's everything. He is just absolutely everything. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. Niner fan, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. John loving the energy. All takes right on. Well, hold on. I'm going to make more bad takes. I'm hyped. You're hyped. I don't want to take away from the game, but did you see the guy you wanted? The guy I wanted, Torrey Effort. Yeah, I saw the punt return. Dude, see, and let's, again, step back. NFC West, I talked about it. Dude, one of the defining statements of the NFL so far this season is 49ers over Seahawks in Seattle. You didn't know it at the time, but good gosh, Seattle is just mowing teams down. Like, they are destroying teams in the first quarter. Yeah, that Torrey Horton. Yeah, we were both fans of him. And that's the worst thing about doing all the draft work is because you fall in love with these guys and then only to see them get drafted by a division rival, which is going to happen. And it's just like, ah, screw that. But yeah, Torrey Horton, that dude, that was awesome.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, let's talk about Upton Stout. Thank you, Leo, for the super chat. Some good, some bad. I really thought the two giant, like, nobody's covering Marvin Harrison Jr. were both on Upton Stout. We'll go through the tape on why. And so when you don't get pressure and it's just that deep drag, what has to happen is the corner who's responsible has to fade back. You've got to get depth as the play continues. You don't have a spot target. But what happens is they basically, it's like a flood level concept where you have a clear out route deep left. You have a drag coming from across the offensive formation that's going to post up anywhere from kind of 15 to 20 yards. Again, outside the numbers on the left side, he clears the backers and comes across. And then you just have a short flat route, right? So it's a flood concept where you're stretching outside the numbers at three levels. Okay, your outside corner's got to go deepest with the deepest. I think we were in cover three that time. And what you have to do is that number two, that slot guy, you've got to get depth to force the throw to the check down. You don't attack the shallow route, the flat route concept, because if you do, there's a guy behind you with all the space in the world. You saw it not once. He dropped it. Second time, he caught it. Both those were the rookie got too aggressive, which you love the aggressiveness, but in your pass drops, you can't do that. Pass drops, you've got to continue to climb to depth. And if they check that down, then you rally and tackle. That is the Robert Saleh philosophy. But the one thing I will say, they're in man coverage, fourth quarter. You've got to have a play. If they run the drag the opposite way, we weren't in zone. We were in man. Mikel runs with this guy, perfect trail technique, doesn't whiplash around him to call a penalty, goes through, and the catch was made. They catch that. Game's over. Game is over. 49ers lose. We are not here celebrating. My cheeks are red for a different reason if he catches that. Catch was made. Upton Stout rakes through the arm, drives that shoulder through him through contact, ball pops out, different story. And so, you know, Upton Stout has not played a clean game three games in. Has he made wonderful plays three games in a row? Yes. And that's what I was saying whenever I started the show. When you have young guys that you're relying on more than any time you've ever done this here in the 49ers history, ever, well, since Shanahan showed up anyway, but you win and still get these coaching points. Upton's going to learn. Yeah, Upton, you got to get depth. You got to climb on that, especially once we get around 3 to 4 seconds and we're not getting pressure. give up the shallow, rally and tackle. Don't be over aggressive. We don't want to give up those big plays. We don't want to give up those big plays. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think Upton Stout has played really, really well. I thought he's played really aggressive. He fits the culture of the defense. He's so good. He's a fit, but still a rookie. And not only just a rookie who missed all of the preseason. You know what I mean? Like, you talk about Alfred Collins, missed all of OTAs. CJ West missed all of preseason. Mikael Williams missed all of preseason. Upton Stout missed all of preseason. Like, these rookies that you're, Marquise Siegel missed all of OTAs. These guys are growing up before our eyes, and they are already at a deficit whenever it comes to snaps and learning and getting those reps and all those things. Now you're having to coach on the fly. And I don't like seeing the same mistakes happen more than once. That is a little bit of a problem, but I can guarantee you Upton Stout's not making that same damn mistake next week. Got him twice this game. One time you got off the hook with the drop pass. The next time cost you big, but he came up the biggest when it mattered the most. When it mattered the most, Upton Stout. Number 20 out there. What's up, Mr. G? Thanks for the super chat, man. I don't care how. All I know is we're 3-0 first place. Dude, you got to win the ugly games. Sometimes the ball has to bounce your way. This game, you change. There's probably about 7 plays, maybe even more, that if you just change that one play, not even like drastic, what if they catch that busted coverage on the flat route on the first drive and walk into the end zone for a touchdown on the first drive? How would that change? Then they missed a field goal right after that, right? Like, was that enough to change things? The Mac interception, you know, was that enough to change things? The drop pass by MHJ, was that enough? Like, there's so many things. Kyler Murray gets tackled 1 inch back. Does that change? Like, sometimes things just have to go. You control what you control. But, like, and in coaching circles, we have these conversations all the time. We put our guys in the place that they need to be in. You hope that they execute, and you coach them to execute. But even after that, sometimes the ball just has to go your way. And in these games, man, if the 49ers and Cardinals played 10 times with these exact same rosters and exact same injuries, do you walk out of there 5-5? Probably. But that's not the way football is. And so you have to seize the day or the game or whatever whenever you have that chance. Yeah, you might have gone 5-5. Maybe you go 7-3. But you won this ugly ass game and you are 3-0. You are 3-0. That changed everything. Oh, here we go, Debbie. Thank you. 3-0, baby. It's been a while. It has been a while. That you're even that 2023 season, right? You go 5-0, then you drop 3 straight games. Ugly as hell losses, too. I mean, just gross. But to be in this position, there are 6 teams in the NFL. There are 3 teams in the NFC that are undefeated. You are one of them. You're the only one in your division. And it always goes down to this. If you win your division, not only are you in the playoffs, you are hosting a playoff game. Now you're in the dance. Once you get in the dance, anything can happen, baby. Anything can happen. Thank you, Debbie. 3-0 feels unbelievable. John, thanks for the super chat. You're the man. 1-2, Freddie's coming for you. 3-4, don't throw no more. Warner is a nightmare for the other team. They're terrified of him. Like, you see it, like, I'm a big, like, Animal Planet type guy or whatever. And whenever that, like, you know, that wolf or tiger or lion, like, whenever the like, apex walks in, like, everybody breaks eye contact, and you're like, oh, I wouldn't even look at that way. And you just walk the other way. Like, you see it with Fred. Dude looks like the damn predator out there. He looks like the damn predator. And other people don't talk to him. They don't even talk to him. They don't even look at it. Like, you look down whenever I walk into the room. Like, it has been established. I'm telling y'all right now, man. Fred Warner's the best player in the NFL. He's the best. Now, it sucks that he plays a non-quote-unquote premium position. But, yeah, Freddie Woger, baby. Freddie Woger. Yes. 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 Oh, I freaking love it, man. Yatsik, my man. What quarterback controversy? There's no quarterback controversy. There's never going to be. It's Brock Purdy. But Mac did play well. He played very, very well. Now, what I want to do next is I want to spend more time on Ricky Pearsall, because number one, that was quite the performance. You knew he was going to be relied upon. That's what we're going to get to next.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, I'm excited. Our next trip is going to be in Tampa Bay for the 49ers Rush Road Trip. Y'all got to cut. We're going to be partying on the beach, Clearwater, Florida, Saturday, October 11th from 2 to 6 p.m. It's going to be an absolute blast. We were in Tampa Bay last year, but we didn't do the beach because of the hurricane and all that kind of stuff. But we're going back. We are doing the trip the right way. We'll be out on the beach, which is only about 20 minutes from Tampa Bay City if you're flying out there. Come join us. Our tailgate, same spot with the Leatherheads. They got the huge pirate ship out front. You can take your picture with it. Unlimited drinks, premium everything. It's the closest tailgate spot. It is the best tailgate spot in Tampa Bay. Come join us. Now, I do have to say this. The 49ers Rush team is recruiting. So if you are going to Tampa Bay and you want to come be part of the 49ers Rush team that helps throw these events, here's what I got to say. These are the requirements. You want to make memories for other people. That's it. Not about me. Not about you. We want to, when kids come in, kids are felt welcome. They leave with something memorable, both tangible, and we make sure we make people's days. People are entrusting us with their 49ers experience on the road. We want to create the best experience possible. We are not broke, but we're not rich. So we will be able to help you somewhat financially eventually. But if you want to help us out, if you're already going out there, I can't afford to pay your airfare and all that stuff. But if you're a Niners fan and you want to come help us throw these events, email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Then we'll be in Houston with Frank Gore, Travis King, Eye of the Niner. Probably going to be one of the biggest parties. It's going to be close to what we did in New Orleans, which was crazy. And then at tailgate, we rented out a 3-story parking garage. We're going to be throwing a party on the ceiling or the roof of that. So go get your tickets on the TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush or click the link in the description of this video podcast. That's the best way. We'll be out there hanging out, man. So if you guys want to come out with us, man, We're always looking to build and kind of grow our team. So let me know. Shoot me an email, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Let's go. Let's go. Now, let's talk Ricky Pearsall. I don't know what his role's going to be long term, okay? And I don't – because we don't know. Because Brandon Ayuk, I want to see what that looks like. Juwan Jennings, whenever he's back and Ayuk's back, what does that look like? DeMarcus Robinson gets back next week. What is that? There's going to be some shakeups. But the one thing that I know for sure, Ricky Pearsall is a constant in this offense for the next four seasons. He is an absolute constant. The Z role is his. The X role is going to be Ayuk's. The Z role is Pearsall. The slot role is probably going to be Juwan Jennings for this year and this year only. DeMarcus Robinson's going to be kind of backing up all three. But Ricky Pearsall has just turned into just such a reliable, you just trust him. And now it's, you brought Ricky Pearsall into defeat man coverage. Well, you didn't see a whole lot of man coverage today. It was a lot of zone. You know, they do a lot of zone. But the fact that he can win when he's covered, you like the elite separation on those deep end breakers when they're in zone. He's so good at that, except for that interception. It was a little of, he rounded the read and Mac threw it high and inside. Like it was just like both of them were a little bit off and the safety jumped it. That's why that was an interception. So it's a little bit on Ricky, a little bit on Mac, a little bit on the safety, just making a hell of killer read. But man, the fact that you could trust Ricky Pearsall, that one drive, he had four catches on one drive. I wish we would go to him more often, but him and Mac have never really been on the same page. Last week at the Saints, you could just tell they were just a little bit off. And you saw that a little bit today too. But man, if you just put that ball anywhere close to Ricky, he's coming down with it. Man, that one catch where he's just like fingertip kind of, man, the mitts are there. You know what I mean? The mitts are there. The mitts are there. I absolutely love just everything that is about this kid and just how tough he is, his personality, what he does. And even on that fade where he caught it and got injured, dude was on the sideline, took a knee, just got the breath knocked out of him. He came back in one play like, dude, put me out here. Put me freaking out here. Absolutely love it. I appreciate the chat. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the chat. There's some bad stuff going on in the chat sometimes. So this community, we are here to lift each other up. We ain't attacking fans. That's not who we are. So if y'all are doing that, just going to let you know we don't do that here. We will send you elsewhere. There are lots of channels where you can't do that. That's not this channel. John, thanks for the super chat. Lots of Purdy hate in the comment section. That's weird to me. That is alien to me. I don't understand why that would take place, but quarterback controversies are important. I know there are a lot of content creators whose entire budget and life income is based off of creating that narrative. This is Ricky Pearsall. This is Brock Purdy's team. The contract says there is nothing. If Mac Jones went out there and threw four touchdowns, no interceptions, three games in a row, it'd still be turned over to Brock Purdy. That's just the way it is. But the good news is you don't have to do that. Like, you have Mac Jones this year too, not only for this year, but also for next year. That is, Mac Jones was the very first contract they announced. They announced Mac Jones and Luke Farrell, the tight end, who's been good, unsung hero, but that's what he was always going to be. Those were the first two free agent signings that they did. Non-premium deals, right? They weren't spending money. But yeah, this is Brock Purdy's team. But you have Mac Jones for this year, next year. How great is it knowing, one of the most injured teams in football history over the past 10 years, that if your quarterback gets hurt, you have a backup? That is such a great thing. That is such a great thing. And I am thankful it's there for 2 years. And I've already gotten emails in my thing like, oh, what if we trade Mac Jones for a third round pick? No. No. Like, yeah, you get a third round pick. Yeah, you might have a conversation. But like, just enjoy this, because what happens after 2 years when Mac Jones goes and signs a huge contract? You're going to get a fourth round comp pick. With what he's done, Mac Jones is going to get a big contract. If Mac Jones, let's say Brock Purdy comes back next week, which I expect to happen, maybe one more week just for that Rams game, but I'd like him to play some before then. But the fact that he practiced three times this week, limited, I expect him to be back. But what? Anyway, we'll deal with that this week. But what if Mac Jones doesn't play for the 49ers again for the next 2 years? That's best case scenario. That means Brock Purdy's healthy. But like, his stock and his tape, dude, teams are going to be salivating for him that free agent cycle. He's going to get paid $14, $15 million a year. That's going to count as a fourth round comp pick, maybe more. So why trade it for a third round pick now when you could have him for 2 years and then he'll sign and then you get the compensation pick formula later? That's the way to build this team. I am so thankful that you just have the comfort of a quarterback. If your quarterback goes down, which Brock Purdy plays risky, you're okay. Yeah, Nathaniel, Mac Jones is a stud. He is a stud. He was freaking awesome, man. Now, right here, it's time to go add some D-line help. Yeah. Now, your practice squad, I think that's probably where you will start, right? Because whatever you look at, just here, let me pull this up just so I can make sure. Because you have some guys that I'm kind of excited about on this practice squad that have shined. And like, you could put these guys in and you're going to be okay. Let me see here. Let me scroll down to the practice squad. Yeah, let's see here. You got Travis Gibson. I think he can take some snaps there for sure. Sebastian Valdez just sitting there. Evan Anderson just sitting there. And Robert Beale Jr. Like, I think Robert Beale Jr. gets called up ASAP. So thankful we got him back. So, like, are any of those guys going to move the needle? No. Itur Gross-Matos, can he finally get healthy to contribute more than just 15 snaps? That would be huge. That's what you want to happen. But you call up Robert Beal, you get Travis Gibson. Those are two opposing different players. You got one that's a pass rusher, one that's a run stuffer, and you get a complementary force, and you can kind of fix what you need to, right? That's kind of the idea there. But I wouldn't mind bringing somebody else in. I'm just telling you right now, that's not really the 49ers' MO usually. But there are still some guys out there. And I don't think Bosa's going to be out, but worst case, probably 4 to 5 weeks, but I don't think it's going to be that long. Just off of initial, ACL is not gone, right? That's just off that. So you can kind of take that for whatever you will. Let's see here. Yeah, we got this. Frank, sorry. Appreciate you, man. Love the passion from you, John. Best of the biz. Man, that's very kind. I appreciate the kind words. And I'm just thankful you guys are spending some time here. It's celebrating. It's a celebration, bitches. Like, you're 3-0. You in first place. Come on, man. Oh, I freaking love it. Eddie Pinheiro. Eddie Pinheiro, baby. And I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm such a jerk. Like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this. If Jake Moody was our kicker, do we win that game? No way in hell, right? No way in hell. The decision to, again, you're 3-0. And the 49ers made the move off of Jake Moody after a win, correcting behavior, personnel mistakes, scheme mistakes, coaching mistakes, whatever, technique mistakes. After a win, it's just beautiful. And the reason why I bring it up isn't an anti-Jake Moody thing. It's, look, you're 3-0 because you intentionally keep making choices to put yourself in that place. That was one of them. That was one of them. And these hard-fought, just, man, test who you are as a human being fights over and over again. You keep coming up proving that you got it. And so that is what it is about. And Pinheiro's going to miss kicks, and who knows? We'll probably miss a game, but you got this dude off the scrap heap, and he's done his damn thing. Do the damn thing. You know what I mean? Oh, I freaking love it. I freaking love it. Oh, I freaking love it. Now let's talk Christian McCaffrey. CMC is a damn warrior. It's 17 carries for 52 yards. Started to kind of prime the pump and get some nice rush attempts towards the end. Only 3.1 yards per carry. But it's an efficient 3.1 in the fact that, man, you're moving. You're staying ahead of the chains. You have no wide receivers to throw to besides Pearsall. You have no tight ends to throw to besides nobody. Kyle Juszczyk got a touchdown. I love that. One catch on one target for 1 yard for one touchdown. Long of one. 1-1-1-1-1. Kyle Juszczyk. Jake Tonjes, 2 catches on 3 targets for 21. One of those came in a very important fourth quarter drive. Los Gatos in the house. I love that. Kendrick Bourne, 4 catches for 38 yards. What was our bet on him? Let me go down there to it. I posted it earlier. What did I put for KB? I posted this morning. So again, I adjusted it again this morning. I hope you did. Kendrick Bourne over 30.5 receiving yards. Check. Kendrick Bourne over 2.5 receptions. Check. So we added those in as soon as Juwan Jennings was out, got paid there. Man, we got paid on a lot of these. So we crushed it. The only one we missed on was the Mac Jones over 1.5 passing touchdowns. We missed on that. We got the first downs. We made some money, man. And so if you bet with us, we post our bets every single week on Friday or Saturday. We just keep 3 straight weeks in a row. We have posted profits. We ain't doing crazy parlays and whatever else. And if the freaking Packers weren't dumbasses, we would have paid way more, but that's okay. John, thanks for the super chat. That timeout clock management, it was on par. Dude, I was loving it. And shout out to Mac Jones and his IQ. Remember, this dude's got over 50 starts in the NFL. Like, he was down there, timeout, 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 timeout. And the announcer, you know, on the broadcast was like, let's see if the 49ers take a timeout here or let it wind down to the 2-minute clock. My wife looked at me because I was like, what the F is this guy saying? Of course you take a damn timeout here. But it's just like you take for granted. People don't know what the hell they're talking about sometimes, even if their job is I'm covering an NFL game. Like, it kind of left it open-ended because he didn't know what they would do. But it's just like the 49ers, like, going for it on fourth down so many times. You won some, you lose some, but it got you the win in the end. The coaching decision kept you in a place to win this game. And I'll go back to this again. Kyle Shanahan doing what he did, 355 yards offense with the worst wide receiver room in the NFL, with the worst tight end room in the NFL. No offense to Tonjes and Farrell, but like, come on, man. Come on. Backup quarterback. Three interior offensive linemen that each one of them allowed a series to be completely wrecked by themselves. 355 yards total. Now, you only got 16 points. That's not good. You got 19 first downs. That's really good for what you're dealing with. Like, you're piecing together scraps, and you're still making a quality meal. The coaching, thank you, Ben. The coaching has been A++. That's why they're 3-0. And all offseason. All offseason. You know, it's easy to just say, oh, the 49ers are going to be 11-6 or whatever. Like, throw that out there. But, like, you have to have that nuanced take. The positives of the 2025 49ers is coaching. You have one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL. You have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. That's two. And you have as many blue chip players slash Hall of Fame players as any team in the NFL. Those are the three positives. And so I said, like, those three things can carry you. If you played this exact same roster, this exact same way against the Buffalo Bills this week, do you win that game? Probably not. Probably not. You probably say about four or five teams that if you played this way with all those injuries, that game and penalties, do you win that game? Probably not. But guess what? You don't play those teams this week. That's not what the assignment is. The assignment was the Arizona Cardinals. And this team, playing that way with those penalties this week, got it done. The coaching did enough to win the damn game. Clock management, game situations, there were mistakes. But man, I love it. And so those three reasons, blue chip players, coaching, schedule. That is the, you play who's on the freaking schedule and you do what you're going to do. Now, the problem, the negatives were relying on so many rookies. And we all knew that there would be negatives with those, and they are happening. The rookies have not been perfect. They've been pretty damn good. Mikael Williams has been pretty damn good. But again, what did I say in the preview thing? I'm worried about Mikael Williams staying outside contained against Kyler. He got burned twice, big time. And I was worried about when we blitzed, you got to have that outside pressure. Do you guys see Jason Pinnock vet outside blitz release off the edge, shoot inside on the inside dive and gave up that free first down? Like, it was just like, oh my gosh, by far not close to a perfect game, but it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, and I've been in those things where you pull up a play, you know, you're coaching and you're like, this is what we got to watch out for. You guys got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. You rep it in practice. We do it individual. We do it inside drill. We do it in 7-on-7. We do it in team. We do it in walkthrough. We show it on film again. We show it on the board. And then you get out there and still same damn thing. Now, you don't get to show the fans. You don't get to show us. Dude, we worked on that all week. Did the guy do it or did he not? Some of those mistakes still came through. So the coaching's been A++. Could be better. Always could be better, right? But yeah, getting a vet, that's my problem. You're a vet, seasoned vet, multiple years in the system vet. You make that mistake at that moment, Jason Pinnock, Malik Mustafa comes back. Warm up that chair, big dog. You got to make those plays. And that's not effort. That's just all between the noggin. Like, vets don't make mistakes like that, and he did. And it almost cost 4 hours a game. Like, again, this game could have gone the other way. Niner fan, appreciate you. Kyle is killing it. He doesn't have to spend any time worrying about the defense. 3 weeks in a row, you've outscored teams in the fourth quarter. 3 weeks in a row, you have outscored teams in the fourth quarter. I freaking love it. Now, the 49ers are 2-0 in the division. Next game is right around the corner. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars in town this week, but then you go to SoFi. 49ers at Rams. That's the next big game. Can you go 3-0 in the division? Why not? Rams look legit. Should have beat the Eagles. Special teams cost them. So we're giving away two tickets, two SoFi for week 5, October 2nd game, section 236 with a pink tailgate parking pass. You get two tickets, one pink tailgate parking pass, which is the only lot you're allowed to tailgate in. Huge Niner fan base going to be there. Bring your grill, bring your drink, show up. So here's what we do. These tickets are going for over $1,500. $1,500. We're giving them away to you. You get one chance for $20 or three chances for $50. You can buy multiple if you want. Go to the 49ersrush.com/Rams. We're giving these away Thursday live on this show, The Coach Approach. I'll be with Coach Ant, so it's 49ers Rush plus 49ers Cutback, 10 a.m. September 25th. We'll announce live on air. All the proceeds, every penny that is raised in this goes to Bruno, 3-year-old fighting through leukemia, trying to help the family out, doing the best we can. So if you want to go to this game, you want to get the tickets and sell the tickets, you want whatever, don't give a damn. Support a good cause. Go to the 49ersrush.com/Rams. Not one penny will go to anything other than Bruno and his family. That is what we're trying to accomplish, is just supporting a good cause. We did it last year, and that freaking tough SOB, he's kicking cancer's ass, man. Like, what else could you ask for? Still fighting, still going through treatments and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was down in L.A., with his dad a couple weeks ago. Kiddo had to do a lumbar puncture. It's just hard, you know. So anyway, we're trying to support a good cause and help some stuff out, and you get to go to a game and have a good time. So go check that out if you want to support a good cause. We will get this go. Look at Mark, my man. What's up, Mark? This was a great effing game. I have zero complaints. Isn't it crazy? Go back to jump in your DeLorean. Go back to the fourth quarter after that safety. 3 minutes left and change. You just lost the lead, and you have to kick the ball off to them. Shout out to the 49ers for keeping all three timeouts. That was so important. All three timeouts. So important. And you know, my wife, she fell asleep. She had a really long day at work. She would fall asleep. I'd wake her up every 5 minutes. Damn it. Go, go, go. Like, I can't. I'm not a person that can stay calm in those situations. Like, I wear my heart on the sleeve during the games. But anyway, she goes, I'm so sorry about the game. Like, she's such a sweet, like, human being. It's weird how nice she is. And I was just like, you know what? That's okay. They could have had this one. They're a good team. But, like, it seemed like all was lost. That was right after that stupid Jason Pinnock freaking shooting inside. What a moron. But you won. You get to coach that up. But yeah, go back to the way you felt when you thought we were going to lose the game, because all of us, every single one of us, thought we were going to lose that game. We all did. But you didn't. And that's why you play the whole game, right? Oh, man, I freaking love this. Couple other just stats that I want to talk about. By far the least efficient on third down. You went 2 of 10 offensively. 49ers, I think, were second in the NFL, about 50%, dropped to 20%. Lack of a run game. Being predictable with only two guys to throw the ball to, Christian McCaffrey or Pearsall, you were sending them what you were going to do. It's what it 1 for 2 on fourth down, though. I think that's huge. 355 yards off the charts, 5.7 yards per play with that group of people. With that group of people. And just think about it. What happens when Ayuk's back? Kittle's back. DeMarcus Robinson's back. Juwan Jennings back. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. It's just not. Oh, man. 6.7 yards per pass. That interception was bad. Only one sack for 2 yards. Yeah, you did have the safety and, you know, some other issues. 73 yards rushing. That's pretty rough. It's just not a good rushing team. Both teams had 5 penalties. But, man, that Renardo Green. My worry meter for players on this team, Renardo Green's probably number one, Kalia Davis number two, Dominic Pooney probably number three. If you're looking for, like, what do we got to fix? Those three cannot continue to play this bad as starters. And the problem with Renardo Green is, shoot, he got banged up on that one play. He came down really hard on his hip. Darrell Luter Jr. is behind him. That's not what anybody wants. Ever. Like, Darrell Luter Jr. is not a very good player. And whenever he was out there, I was like, all right, guys, time to buckle up. Time to buckle up because you put so much stock in Green, you didn't bring in any corners of note. None. You didn't draft any outside corners. I was screaming from the mountaintops. All free agency, and like outside corner and wide receiver. You don't have depth. You don't have depth. Here we are 3 weeks into the season. You put out the worst wide receiver core in the NFL, and corner's a major issue. Corner's a major issue. Yeah. Demo's so good, though. That's the flip side. Thank you, Mark. Like, Demo's great. It wasn't out there really personality-wise, but teams are just staying the hell away from him. Teams, like, you watch the tape. We're going after an Upton Stout, Marquise Siegel, Renardo Green. We're just going after those three. And, like, I'll say this. A lot of people messaging me, like, oh, Marquise Siegel sucks. Whoa. Way wrong. He's getting beat against Trey McBride. He's the second best tight end in football. It's not like his coverage was bad. It was a good pass, and Trey McBride's badass. That dude's great. That missed tackle was awful. Now, go back and you watch Kalia Davis get walked out of his gap 7 yards to the side, and you've got to tackle one-on-one in space like that against an explosive back. It was a bad play from Marquise Siegel. But, like, the fact that he – did you see the tackle in open space against Kyler Murray later on in the fourth quarter? Marquise Siegel, like, I'm not – my worry meter for Marquise Siegel is not that high. It's not. For Renardo Green, it is. For Dominic Pooney, it is. For Kalia Davis, it is. Those guys, like, you're talking three consecutive bad games. That so, like, if you're one of those people that's just like, all right, we won, we got close, what do we got to fix? I am changing the defensive tackle rotation. I'm going to start Alfred Collins over Kalia Davis. I would make that change right now. Last week after tape, I said, all right, we'll see how this goes. Now it's finalized. I'm making that switch. Can't bench Renardo Green because you have no depth there. And you can't bench Dominic Pooney, obviously. But, like, I'm like, dude, does this guy need time off? Do we need to start resting him on Wednesday? Is it a health issue? Is it because the technique, he's just turned into a waistbender. You never saw that at Kansas. You didn't see it last year. Like, he had good knee bend. Now he's just freaking topsy-turvy, just right at the waist, getting off balance. Guys are getting past him. Those are my three concerns. Juggernaut, welcome. Appreciate you, man. Guys, the 49ers are 3-0 with a 2-0 divisional record. You have already surpassed your entire divisional record from 2024 when you didn't make the playoffs. My, how things changed. Now, DeMarcus Robinson's back. He gets to start practicing with the team as soon as this game concluded. He is back, baby. You will not have the worst wide receiver core in the NFL next week. You won't. Juwan Jennings, hopefully he's back. Kendrick Bourne, more time in the system. Freaking Ricky Pearsall, Mr. Consistent. Oh, Mr. Consistent. Let's get the damn job done every damn time. I love it. You guys are the absolute best. We're here every single damn day. We'll be live tomorrow. I'm going to be breaking down film. So if you want to see the coaches tape and the good and the bad, that's going to be over at the 49ersrush.com. You sign up for the Frank Gore tier and above. You get all access to the last 4.5 seasons. Every single play you could ever want to watch. So join us over there. We're going to get that done. And then we're also going to be having a Zoom hangout in the next week or so. We got to get that done before this month. I'll get that on the schedule. We'll see that. Oh, we got one more super chat before I jump out of here. It's the wave. Thank you. Matt plus CO. With these two wins, we'll make it worth it later on in the season, even with Purdy. Matt and company, sorry. Pushing through with backups, not many teams can. You are correct. If you can win ugly, you strike fear into the hearts of your opponents. I'm telling you. Because they know, damn it, we get to the third quarter and it's close game. These dudes have beat the shit out of everybody in the fourth quarter. That goes through their head because they watch this tape. They watch this game. Man. These guys beat the shit out of everybody in the fourth quarter. And we're in a close game with them? All right, time to strap it up. Not everybody has that mentality. Not everybody does. Oh, y'all are the best. 3-0, baby. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.